Tomahawk. Quick listen, shout out to our listeners. Thank you very much for listening. We are starting a new season, season three for the Chicago Tomahawk. And Matt, let's get started right away. Blackhawks did not look very good during the preseason, but what can be expected, man? I mean, we're not really looking for a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. It'd be really nice, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Number one, coming out, what I didn't want to hear, Lucas Reichel being sent down to Rockford. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I was really looking forward to see him paired up with possibly Kaner and maybe Domi, but the management has other plans. I know that they said they wanted him to get as much ice time as he could, and if he did make the team, he'd be a fourth line center. And we all know that Lucas Reichel is not a fourth line center. He's top six potential, maybe future first line center. We'll see. But yeah, I'm very disappointed.
So here's the problem that I think, Matt, is that they were looking for this kid to play, which totally understandable, but maybe his face-offs are an issue. Do you think that maybe they sent him down to Rockford so he can work on maybe a couple parts of his game that they say, hey, you need to strengthen these things up and that we're going to bring you back up to the big boys?
I honestly don't know, man. Like I said before, when you don't have a lot of good players, people are going to lose interest. Fans are going to lose interest. And me personally, I'm that way. I was looking forward to seeing guys like a Reichel, and, you know, Max Domi is great and everything, but honestly, if we're going to be looking towards a future, I want to see this kid develop from scratch. I think it would be great. I mean, we still can, but I guess I'm being impatient, but I just feel like he paid his dues last season and he put up really good numbers. And I felt like he deserves a shot looking at like the roster. He's better than half the players. So I think it's just it's a patience thing, and they're going to stick to their approach of, you know, not ruining players like Bowman did with Kirby Doc. So
you know, as you mentioned it, let's go over the opening night roster that we have so far. We've got centers, Colin Blackwell, Max Domi, Reese Johnson, Tyler Johnson, Philippe Kurashev, and Jonathan Toews. Now, do you think that, you know, Kurashev is one of these guys that this is it for him? Like, this is his last opportunity this year?
Yes, I do. I think actually for Max Domi as well. I mean, this is his fifth team in how many years? But going back to Kurashev, this guy, you know, when he first came, I remember his first couple games, he was, you know, playing a top six guy. And I remember me and you, right when we started this podcast, we're like, we really like this kid. He wins a lot of puck battles. He'll forecheck. He'll stay on these guys, and he'll steal the puck from the defenseman and hit an open man in the slot, and they score. And that just kind of disappeared. So he's real streaky. He'll score a goal, and then he'll go 12 without anything, and 20 without even hearing his name getting possession of the puck. So I think this is it for him. He's got to have a good season if he wants to stay in the NHL, because no one's going to trade for a guy. He's either going to get sent down, or, you know, somebody might take a gamble on him at the trade deadline, but I don't see him being on this team in the future.
You know, Max Domi, dependent on, you know, where he's playing, you know, because at one point, you know, we would talk about him. He's like, man, this kid's got a lot of skill. That's something that his dad wasn't doing. His dad was normally throwing punches, you know. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know if he got snake bitten or something, but his production went down. Yeah. And then he started, you know, going between teams. I wonder if he is a... is he a positive locker room presence, or, you know, what's going on with this guy? I mean, I like him. I like his game. I think last year he was a little douchey a little bit, but, you know, he was just trying to fight guys who aren't fighters and stuff. You know, I don't know if he was trying to stay in the league or what have you, but I think that he has the talent to be playing on a line with Patrick Kane and put up some points. Do you think that maybe they want Domi playing with Kane to see if they could produce together?
Yes, and to go back to what you were talking about, like he was snake bitten, I think that trade from Phoenix, it hurt him. Because he was a really effective player there. He was the man there for a while. Even, you know, Shane Doan was like, this kid, I'm passing the torch to this kid. And I think ever since he got traded to Montreal, it's just, it hasn't been the same. He's kind of had some, he'll have an up year and then it'll go way down. And then he'll go to a different team. He'll go to a new system. It takes him a while to learn. And by the time he learns it, he's on his way out. But I think Max Domi knew the Hawks situation. He wanted to get traded here and possibly play with Patrick Kane, put up good numbers, and get another contract, whether it's with the Hawks or whether somebody takes a gamble on him at the deadline. I think both parties are using each other. You know what I'm saying? I think the Hawks can be like, you know what? We're going to put him with Kane. We're going to get this. We're going to get like 50 points out of this guy. And at the deadline, someone might overpay a first rounder, second rounder, and we can build for the future. And on the other hand, Max is probably saying, hey, I'm going to be playing with the best American playmaker of all time. I'm going to get big money next year because of this guy. So it's win-win for both sides, I think.
Yeah. You know, now that you mention it that way, I didn't initially see it that way, that I thought that the thing for Max Domi was coming to play with Kaner and having a place to play and a place where he could put up some consistent points. I didn't think about him getting a new contract. Because, I mean, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, 1 year left. I mean, he's making good money this year. $3 million is pretty good for a guy who's been on the decline, you know? And like I said, it's his fifth team. I think it's his fifth team, if I'm not mistaken. But it's kind of make it, break it year for him, too. So he's putting himself in the best situation for himself, and knowing he's going to get to play with Patrick Kane, I'm sure it's going to be really good for him.
So looking at the right wings now, we've got Mackenzie Entwistle, Patrick Kane, Sam Lafferty, and Taylor Radish. I like Mackenzie Entwistle. I think that he plays a great fourth line role. You know, maybe he's looking to move up to the third line. You know, we'll see how that goes. But as of right now, I think that he's a great sandpaper guy down there, effective on both ends of the ice. And I like the guy. Patrick Kane, nothing needs to be said about him. We already know what we get. Sam Lafferty, on the other hand, is another guy that I like. I think as the year went on last year, I think he got better and better as time went on. And I think that this guy is looking to make, I don't want to say make a statement, but look to show people like, hey, look, I belong in this league. He was showing that last year. I hope that he takes a step forward this year because I really like him. And Taylor Radish is kind of in that same boat as Sam Lafferty. He has an opportunity now with the Blackhawks that he wasn't getting when he was with Tampa. He's going to get to play some minutes. He was scoring some goals last year, and hopefully he's going to score some goals this year. I look for Radish to play on that Jonathan Toews line. Where are you at with our wingers?
Well, yeah, like you said, Patrick Kane. We know who Patrick Kane is. Sam Lafferty, I got to give a win to Kyle Davidson on that trade. Alex Nylander, yeah. I don't even know what's going on with him. Must not be great because nobody in Pittsburgh talks about him. As for Radish, I think he could be a top six guy. I did like Mackenzie Entwistle at the end of the year when he was coming up and down. He plays big. He's 6'3". Buddy Robinson, I don't know too much about him, but looking at his height, 6'6", his weight, 230, this guy's going to be a banger, but I'm not really, you know, excited about our right wingers, except, you know, maybe Lafferty and Kaner.
Yeah. I'm actually, you know, like I said, man, I'm big on Taylor Radish right now. Moving on to left wingers, kind of funny, man. Like they've only got three here on the
depth
on the
chart.
Listing,
yeah,
here.
It's not too deep. Yeah, yeah.
We've got Juju Kyra, Boris Kachuk, and Andreas Anastasio. Did I say that right?
Anthony Nassiu. God bless you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what, man? Like I said before, I hope that hopefully that Anthony Nassiu is not another Victor Stahlberg, all wheels and nothing
all
else.
All wheels, I forgot,
you know.
The puck. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but he looks pretty good. I'm expecting him to probably play on that Kaner, possibly Kaner Domi line, or maybe play with Taves. Boris Tkachuk, he's another guy looking for a spot in the NHL. He's going to have his opportunity this year. And Juju is a bit of a fourth liner. I think he's probably going to play in the fourth line with Entwistle again this year. I like him. I think he's a character guy. And I just think that there's a lot to like about the guy.
Yeah. Cairo, I mean, he's a fourth line guy, a role guy, locker room dude. I saw a video of him on Twitter teaching the younger guys how to fight, and I'm just like, why this guy? I mean, I'd never seen him drop the glove like once. You know, I have one memory of him, and it's just getting absolutely destroyed by Jacob Trouba when we were playing the Rangers. But yeah, very not too deep on the left wing position here. Anthony Seu, that was probably my best shot at that. I think he's in the same boat as Max Domi. I think it's kind of a make it or break it year for him to put up some good numbers, and maybe the Hawks can flip him, and maybe the Hawks can help this guy get another contract next year for a different team.
Maybe they keep him, you know?
Yeah, you know, they might even keep Domi. I know Max Domi's played with Richardson in, I believe it was Montreal. And had nothing but great things to say about him, and Richardson had great things to say about Domi. Sometimes you find a coach you're comfortable with, and getting a paycheck to play hockey is enough, and he might want to stay.
Moving on to defense, we've got Jack Johnson. Old man Jack Johnson just won a Stanley Cup with Colorado. Caleb Jones, who I think is still on the IR, Seth Jones, Connor Murphy, Alec Regula, Philip Ruse, Jared Tenorti, and Alex Vlasic. Vlasic, I'm really high on. I was really looking for him, and Alec Regula and Isaac Phillips to battle for spots. Looks like Regula and Vlasic won out, but I think Isaac Phillips is still a player to look out. He's down in Rockford now. Yeah. Matt, where are you at with this blue line?
Well, like you said, I'm very, very high on Vlasic. I think since he is on the team, this is a guy I want to watch closely. I want to see what he can do, you know, in different situations. And, you know, like you find a guy like, hey, is this going to be like our shutdown guy? And next year, is Korchinski going to be like, you know, our future Duncan Keith type of guy? And will it be the future Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook pairing? I think Vlasic and Korchinski, it could happen. I think they were actually paired together, and I was like, whoa, this is cool. This is like maybe in a couple of years, these are going to be the guys playing 20 minutes in the playoff games together.
Right.
I know we did forget to add Jake McCabe. I think he's on the IR too.
He's hurt right now.
So yeah. I think he'll be dealt. I think Connor Murphy will be dealt. Seth Jones, obviously, we know what he can do. I'm high on Seth Jones. I was pushing for him to come here, and I still think he's a great top five defenseman in the league. Caleb, his brother, we traded Duncan Keith for him, and you know what? I'm okay with that. Yeah, Caleb kind of fit in, and he's a gamer. I like that he's here. Jack Johnson, maybe 10 years ago, I'd be really, really excited about getting him, but sure. You know, they had to fill in spots, and they didn't want to, rush these guys down to Rockford. Rushing a defenseman and a forward, it's a little different. They're more patient with defensemen, because you know you got the limelight on you more as a defenseman. You got more pressure. But and this new guy we just acquired through waivers, I think what do you say his name was? Jared Tenorti?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we picked him up today, and he was waived by the Rangers. And his numbers aren't that special, but maybe Davidson likes something in his game, and we just wanted to fill him in as a, you know, like a 7th, 8th defenseman.
Well, 6'6", 229. I think I know what he's thinking.
Yeah,
there.
Are we turning into the 90s days where we had Probert, Vandenbosch, Jim Cummings, Cam Russ? I remember Tony Amandi talking about that. He'd be like, well, we weren't that good, but we were very tough. So maybe the Hawks are trying to bring some old-time hockey back.
You know what, Matt? There's two guys I want to talk about, man. I want to talk about Ian Mitchell. Talk about getting a very unlucky injury. This was his year. He was supposed to make this team out of camp. I think that maybe when he's healthy, he goes down to Rockford for a few games to get his legs under him, and then they move him up and see what he can do. But I want to talk about Nicholas Bowden, man. Talk about not a fall from grace, but the guy is practically an afterthought right now. We've got Alex Vlasic, Alec Regula, and Isaac Phillips making headway, looking to make this team. These three guys, man, have kind of come out of nowhere, and they are vying for spots on this blue line. This was supposed to be Bowden and Mitchell's time, and to be honest with you, Bowden seems to be an afterthought. Yeah. And it's for Mitchell. It's a he needs to step up and shine type of a thing.
Yeah, Mitchell had a great season in the AHL last year. He was awesome. I saw a lot of highlights of him scoring some big goals and, you know, just stepping up. And I think he would have made the team if he didn't get hurt. I think they're going to give him a chance, like you said. They'll probably give him a conditioning little stint in Rockford to get his legs and, you know, just get the gameplay going, just get the reps in. And I think eventually when he's healthy, they'll call him back up.
All right. Really interesting, man. I just didn't see this. There's obviously a battle for the blue line. Davidson is building this team from the blue line, and he's trying to get things figured out here before he starts plugging guys into the offense, it seems like. Goaltenders, not much to talk about here. Peter Mrazek and Alex Stalock. You know, hopefully that these guys are going to do what Davidson wants, and that's do the best that they can, and so that we can get a shot at one of these great players that are coming into this draft, next season. Obviously, everybody wants Connor Bedard. Everybody wants to win the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, but there are also, some other players that are really, really good that can make a big difference on this squad. So, looking at goaltending here, Matt, there's not really much to talk about.
No, Peter Mrazek as a Red Wing was very good, very solid. I think he actually went to Carolina. They had a really good goaltending tandem. And ever since he was traded to Toronto, his numbers just went to garbage. I guess what we did was give the Leafs a huge break. We took on his contract, and I don't know why you'd want to help the Leafs out, but Davidson did, and we got Peter Mrazek probably going to be starting more than Alex Stalock. Alex Stalock, I think he had a good little run with the Sharks a couple years ago, but, he's probably, I think he's a starting AHL guy, but this is what we got. We let Lincoln and Delia go, so he's just kind of plugging in guys until we find our future. Maybe Soderblom in a couple seasons will get a better look. Maybe he'll even get called up a couple times this season, but these are our guys, and as a goalie guy, this sucks for me because, the last couple years we've been spoiled. We'd have Crawford and, even Nikolai Habibulin was more entertaining than these guys, and Cristobal Huwe, Antti Niemi. This just sucks. And, growing up with Eddie Belfour and that, it's like, oh, geez, these guys are like, guys are like freaking beer leaguers compared to him. So it's rough for me, but we got to deal with it until we find our stud.
Before we go any further, I want to do a read from our sponsor of this podcast. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Check this out. In addition to usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Discuss the matchup that, that I like, or anybody that you like, guys. You tell me which matchup on this week's NFL team are you going to be looking to try to win some big bucks here. Make things even sweeter, you could throw down a stepped up same game parlay once per game all season long. Now, we're in Chicago, so we're talking Bears. We're talking about Justin Fields. He almost staged a comeback this past week. Man, I don't know if you saw it, Matt, but wide receiver had the ball. All he had to do was run out of bounds, and he got stripped of the ball. But Justin Fields was playing well. You might be able to make some money off of the Bears. So what you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook Sportsbook app now. Use promo code ShyTomahawk to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. And when you place a $5 bet on any football game, that's ShyTomahawk only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Now, we're going to do a couple predictions here. Matt, who do you think is going to be the Vezina winner come this season? I think that it's going to be Andre Vasilevsky. Vasilevsky's my guy, man. You know, I've really just year after year after year after year, this guy is incredibly consistent, and he's a brick wall. That's all that it is. I think that he's going to win the Vezina this year. Where are you at? Yeah,
you know, he's my guy too. I think that he's better than Shesterkin. I think that Vasilevsky, I think it's a lot of hockey the last three seasons, you know?
Yeah.
I think it might catch up with him a little bit, but you know what? I'm going to go a little bit in right field here. I'm going to say Freddie Anderson is going to win the Vezina this year.
Okay. How about the Hart Trophy for MVP?
I'm going to give this one to Connor. I think this kid's hungry and this is his year.
It's funny. I'm going Leon.
Okay.
I think that he's going to have a really big year this year. I think that everybody is going to start seeing this guy's value as not just a shadow player to Connor McDavid, but I think that he's going to come up big this year. I mean, he comes up big every year, to be honest with you. Connor gets 120 points. He gets 115. You know, I think that maybe he steps out of the shadow a little bit this year. Art Ross Trophy. I'm going to go with Leon.
I'm going to go with Connor.
Okay. Calder.
This is tough. You know what? I was really hoping to give it to Lucas Reichel, but you know, this is a tough one because honestly, I don't think we can answer this until we see, you know, like there's really no rookies that are coming out to take the jump right away that I've heard of. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to have to answer this one in a couple weeks.
You know what? I meant to look the guy up. Who was the guy who was supposed to be drafted by Montreal? Ooh, and then he was all pissed off about it.
Shane Wright, right?
Wright. Yeah.
You know what? You're right. He could be pretty pissed off and prove a point here. Yeah, he was really, really, really mad.
I think that he's got a chip on his shoulder and then he's going to be looking to make an example. Yeah. I'm going to go with Shane Wright. Norris Trophy, I'm going to go with Hedman.
Ooh. I am going to go with Cale Makar. I think Cale Makar, he's just in it.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm going to take back what I just said. Because I'm thinking of Vasilevsky. Him and Hedman have played a shit ton of hockey.
So you're going to say Drew Doughty.
No. I'll give you another guess.
Probably that Fox.
No.
Okay, so is it a Western team?
I think Adam Fox is going to have another great year this year, but I don't think that he's going to win the Norris. I'm going to go. Yeah, it's Eastern Conference.
Okay. Brent Burns.
No, absolutely not.
I have no idea.
I'm going with Mo Sider.
That, you know what, man? That's interesting. I think he's going to have a breakout year, but I just think that the top three, they just put up too many points.
Yeah, they do. I think that he's going to score some points, but I also think that his all-around game is going to bring him to the top.
If it was the all-around game, I am picking Victor Hedman, and I'd pick Mo Sider runner-up. I wouldn't pick those other two guys, Fox and Makar. Okay. But unfortunately, that's what it is. It's just about points now.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking game breakers, I think Makar is on top.
Yes.
But, you know, and I think Fox is somewhat of a, I don't want to call him a wild card, but he's just not as consistent as Makar.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Vezina.
Well, oh yeah, I picked Freddie Anderson.
I got Jack Campbell. Oh, no. I start off with Vezina. I want to go with Jack Campbell, man. I think that I got to change it because I'm thinking about the team that he has in front of him. And I think that it's going to be easier for him to win games and for him to essentially just to come out on top, man.
Well, you know what, man? That was my pick too. But the only thing I think with Campbell is he usually gets hurt. He's kind of, he might lose 2 weeks, but you know what? Last year he was on. He was my Vezina favorite. And he got hurt, and you know, you go through cold streaks. I know Shesterkin will probably win it, but I think that if Freddie Anderson can stay healthy, I think the Canes are just a really good defensive team, just an all-out great team, great coached. Sure. I think he's going to benefit this year off of it, Freddie Anderson.
Stanley Cup champion.
Edmonton Oilers.
Okay, actually, I was going to say the same thing.
I like the Campbell signing. I think that's what they needed. Their defense isn't that great, but you know, Connor, you got Leon, you got Zach Hyman, you got Evander Kane. And hey, there's a lot of rumors saying that the Edmonton Oilers want to add another Kane. So I don't think Patrick Kane would waive that, but if Patrick Kane was traded to Edmonton and he accepted it, Patrick Kane and Connor McDavid on the same line with an Evander Kane, dude, that is a very scary, dangerous line in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder who's going to quarterback that. I mean, I would imagine that they would defer to Kaner to kind of dish it to Connor. Yeah. You know, Connor coming
shoot
in
more
hot.
Connor, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Just tell Connor, and it's just like,
well, they're gonna give that. They're gonna give him more space if Patrick Kane's on the ice and Connor McDavid. Like, what do you do? Like, who do you cover? You know, I mean, like, if you're a defenseman, like, okay, I can't give Kaner any room to pass. Oh, I can't give Connor any room to get speed. That would be terrifying.
And then you've got Evander Kane just practically
he can score.
Waiting in Ovechkin's office
douchebag
over there.
Human being, but phenomenal hockey player. He really is. He produces everywhere he goes. He just, you know what? He's got to stay in his condo or his house during the season. Don't do anything stupid. Just lock yourself in, but watch Netflix and don't get in any trouble. And he'll be fine. And I think if they can land a guy like Kane at the deadline, can you imagine that, dude? That would be the scariest thing. And Duncan Keith is now in the front office as well. What if,
he signed at Edmonton.
He obviously wants to be closer to his son, but can you imagine getting a call like, hey, Kaner, we want to trade for you. Connor's phenomenal. You're going to get another cup, maybe. This could be it for you. Come on over for the year. They're going to give the Hawks a first-round pick. You win your cup. And you can even go back and sign with the Hawks. I mean, that would be awesome. But
I mean,
think
it could
happen.
But what kind of a first-line, I mean, a first-round pick can we get from Edmonton
at this point, though?
This isn't like they suck like they did before.
It's not going to be.
Are we getting like the 30th pick?
No, you're definitely going to have to get more than one first-round pick. I think you got to get two, and you got to get their top prospect. You have to. And you know what? If even their top prospect goaltender, I would steal because we have nothing. I mean, just get creative because he could be a rental. He could be a rental and he could sign back. Like you said, his family's they're here. His wife is from here. His son was born here. And for a couple months to go play in Canada and possibly compete for a Stanley Cup, I think Kane would do it, and I think it would benefit the Hawks, too.
Man, you know, I don't want to accept it, though.
But the more you talk about it, it's possible.
It makes sense.
And the Hawks, they can retain the salary. We have cap space. But that's going to cost more for them.
If the Hawks trade Kane, do you think whatever team he goes to wins the cup?
Well, the team who's going to obviously offer for, like, I'll give up all their assets and picks, I think they probably would be a team that's right there, like Carolina, New York, Edmonton, even Calgary. I think Calgary still has a shot, but
Huberto's got a big chip on his shoulder. He told Zito when he traded him, fuck you.
I mean, you I'm know? not I, I'm I don't think Florida's better off now. I think Matthew Tkachuk's a good player. He's entertaining, but I think Matthew Tkachuk's out for one thing. Matthew Tkachuk. I think Huberdeau was a team guy. Like he's Florida Panthers all the way. That guy loved that team. So yeah, I don't think that they're not a threat to me. To me, it's the same Tampa, you know, Carolina, New York, Edmonton. I mean, I guess you could throw Toronto in there, but until they win a playoff series, they're nothing. You know, they've really done nothing. Vegas is kind of fallen, and you know, you got Colorado, they're a powerhouse, but you know, they're not going to go for a Patrick Kane. There's no way, not after that huge deal that MacKinnon signed. But I think Edmonton, if the salary was retained, I think I could see Patrick Kane going there.
You know, at this point, if Florida comes up against Tampa this offseason, I mean, not this offseason, this playoff season, and they don't get past them, what do you do in Florida?
This is, I mean, he made a big, big gamble. He got rid of his career, his franchise leader in assists and points, and for a guy who really hasn't done much in the playoffs. He's done good in the season.
Well, Huberdeau,
yeah, you're right.
You know, a case can be said that he didn't do anything in that Tampa series.
You're right, but I think Florida's problem was they kept running into Tampa, and Florida's, they're still a good team, man. They're good, but it's like the Hawks in the '90s and the late '80s.
I was going to say Minnesota.
You run into Minnesota or you run into Edmonton, Gretzky and Edmonton. It's like.
No, I mean like Minnesota running into the Hawks in the 2010s.
Right, yeah.
Because they signed Suter and Parisi to those deals. They had some good teams and they made the playoffs. Yeah. But you know what? They couldn't get past the Hawks.
And you could say the same thing for the Vancouver Canucks. They were picked. Yeah. I remember Eddie Olczyk used to rave about these guys. Oh, these guys are going to win the cup this year. Second round, Hawks knocked them out in six. Next year, Hawks knocked them out in six. And then the next year, I believe we were down 3-0 in the first round. I think it was 2011.
Yeah, we lost in seven.
Dave Boland comes back, shuts down the Sedin sisters, and nearly they shit their pants. And
almost.
Overtime.
Almost.
Goal, I believe it was Chris Campoli shot it up, and Burroughs knocked it out of the air and buried one by Crawford. But hey, what they finally beat us, and that was their Stanley Cup right there.
Right, it was.
I never cheered so hard for Boston, and Tim Thomas won it. That was a good series. But yeah, back to Florida. You might have to burn it down a little bit because it ain't working. It ain't working. Gosh. You got a good team. Yeah. You want to just have a good team and make the playoffs every year. Yeah, that's cool and everything, but eventually you gotta make a push. And, you know, they really haven't. So might have to move Bob's contract in any way you can because that $10 million a year, it's hurting. You can have two good effective players, two good role players, instead of two good goalies and one's on the bench all the time.
Right. So one of the last things I wanted to talk about is Austin Matthews is looking to get an extension. And we both know that the salary cap is going to be going up big time in about, I think it's 2 to 3 years now. And big time. And they're saying that possibly $16 million a year for Austin Matthews. Do you make that contract with Austin Matthews right now?
Well, the Leafs have no choice. They have the dude just potted 60 goals. You have to. I honestly, where else would he go? Who else is going to pay a lower marketed team like Phoenix? He's not going to want to go play in front of 3,000 people at a school, you know? So, I mean, this is it for him. Toronto somewhat has an advantage here, too. They could be like, you know what, man, all that money you're asking for, I think the only team that would pay it right now is probably the Islanders because I think they have some space. And I think he'll end up being a Toronto Maple Leaf for life. $16 million is a little high, though. I can see maybe 14. That's pushing it too. But come on, what are we turning into the freaking MLB? These pitchers are making more than an NHL team. There's their salary.
Well, you know, the NBA got the big TV deal a few years back, and you know, contracts went through the roof. You know, we had guys who are kind of bubble guys making $2-5 million, and then the contract went through. These dudes are making 20.
That's insane. And, well, what's the kid? Soto on the Padres. Didn't he turn down like $300 million? I want to say.
From the Nationals. Did. Oh wait. Yeah, he was from the Nationals.
They ended up trading him because they weren't going to come up with an agreement. But damn, $300 million. He bet on himself, and same with Judge.
Yeah, he did, man. Judge bet on himself, and he hit a 62 home runs this year. They're going to have to pay up next
Cubbies?
Year.
No. No. We're getting off track here. We're a hockey podcast.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Lastly, what I wanted to say was this is going to be a year of development for the Blackhawks. That's what we're looking at. You know, these guys aren't going to be burning down any barns. But that being said, we're still going to support our team. They're still our guys. And, you know, win or lose, they're our guys, and we're going to pull for them. So get on board. We're going to be covering these guys. We love them. And do us a favor. Check us out on Twitter if you get a chance. We're going to be doing some Twitter spaces, you know, this season. We're going to be doing some after game videos that we're going to be releasing on there to kind of give you a breakdown of the game, letting you know how we saw the game, and we're gonna be adding some other stuff too. So do us a favor, get on board. You know, we've got a lot of content coming out this season. Thank you for listening. If you have anything you want to talk to us about, or anything you want to hear on the podcast, check us out on Twitter at Shy Tomahawk. We'll feature it, and you know what? We might even have you on the show if you're really inclined and you want to talk about something. Also, do us a favor: use our code Chicago Tomahawk at Liquid IV for 15% off. You got to keep yourself hydrated, whether it's the wintertime, summertime, it doesn't matter. This stuff's great. Passion fruit's my favorite flavor, and I use this stuff all the time. So, 50% off Liquid IV, use Shy Tomahawk as the code. Link in the notes, and we'll see you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.